Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media. From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Cat Napsok for another edition of Force Center, the big show, the main show, the superstar destroyer of our fleet, the major domo of Jabba's palace, the Figrin Dan of the modal nodes. Those last two coming from the internet. Jeff Not Emma at Jeff Not Emma on Twitter, suggesting those to those us to use as starters, and I like those there. So if you have a suggestion of what we are, just use that hashtag Force Center on Twitter and help me with the intros. I do enjoy it. As always, I'm joined by Joseph Scrimshaw and Jennifer Landa. I will use my mouth wide open with my tongue to speak.
Oh, man, this is so far my favorite episode of Force Center.
It's going great.
I think what you said is you literally encouraged the internet to write in and tell us who we are, which is great.
Well, which is what the internet does by itself.
It does anyway. The best. Those are great suggestions.
Though we have very supportive Force Center fans. I'm very, great job, very fortunate, Emma. And a lot of my endeavors on the internet have good supportive fan bases behind
Absolutely.
Us, and we appreciate that there. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy to be back, even though I almost just whipped my eye out with the headphones.
I was doing the intro, and we do these shows live to tape, and I heard some commotion, and I saw Joseph pull out a first aid kit. Are you okay over there?
Yes, I feel like I'm like Jack Tripper, the Nutty Professor. Oh, boy. Sorry, guys.
Oh, wow.
I'm here.
Jennifer Jerry Lewis Landa joining us today.
Hey, Flavin. All right, guys. You know, when Jennifer, you're here, and Joseph, you're here, and it's completing the journey, that's kind of meeting our fans' expectations and demands. It's not fan service. It's just the way it should be,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's why today's show is all about fan service.
Damn.
Oh, that was a stretch.
Sweet segment.
Tweet in better transitions for me. We want to talk about fan service in Star Wars, because since Lucasfilm brought back the franchise in a big way with The Force Awakens and into Rogue One and the comics and the books and the cartoons and the toys and the serials and everything, this word fan service has been thrown around a lot, Joseph. It is on the minds of a lot of people, often in a negative fashion.
Yeah.
But that doesn't always mean fan service is negative. So we wanted to dive in today on the concept of fan service.
Yeah, that's right. Fan service, I don't even know if that's exactly the right term, but it was the closest I could think of when I wanted to talk about this. Fan expectation, maybe even.
Yep.
But I think Star Wars is in this unique place where they're given us all of this information about which characters are at what point, when, what do they think, what do they feel. So we as fans have this backlog of information where something like Rogue One rolls around, and we're like, well, of course, Vader's in his murdering prime.
Yeah.
And we've never really got to see Vader in his prime of murdering. Of course, that should be in Rogue One.
Right.
So, but then, you know, we heard that was a late addition. Yes. That didn't occur to the creators. So I think we're in this unique position where sometimes fans have some great ideas because we're so invested. And other times we want things to happen and the creators maybe have a better idea. Like, yes, there's not any Luke in The Force Awakens, basically, except for this last great moment.
Yeah.
But that worked really well for the creators. The creators knew what they were doing.
Right.
If they had asked us, we might have said no to that.
Totally.
But they really... So the balance of those two things.
Yeah.
Of when creators should listen to fans and when they should go like, no, we're creating, trust us.
Yeah. Mm. And I think they ask us to do that a lot with Star Wars. But it's a controversial term, this fan service thing, Jennifer, because let's say, you know, an Ewok shows up in The Last Jedi. Mm. That definitely is fan service to you, not fan service to others.
Right.
Is that a good thing and how they do it and everything? So I'll start the topic here, Jennifer, with you. Mm-hmm. When are creators right to listen to the fans?
Oh, this is really tricky. We're in an unusual place right now with movies, where the movies are, there's so many franchises, you know, the Marvel and DC properties and now Star Wars. And so it's this delicate balance of making us happy,
right,
but not giving into all of our whims.
Mm-hmm.
Because would I love to see a bunch of Ewoks running around? Absolutely. Will that serve the story?
Yub nub.
Yub nub. I don't know if it would serve the story, and maybe I don't need that right now. So, and it's also something I was thinking about was I was like, in this day and age where social media is so powerful and people are so vocal with their criticism or their excitement, they really have to be cautious with how much they give us what we want and how much they say, nope, we're doing our own thing and not listen to us.
Yeah.
And the second thing, too, is that these creators are fans themselves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes.
You know? So then they're wanting to give in to their own desires and whims.
Yeah. Yeah, they want to service themselves.
Yeah.
Hey, some of their decisions are, fan service to themselves. Yes.
Absolutely.
You joke, but that's true. And you know it, Joseph, there. That is, it's a different time. It's a different era. This is not a man in a flannel shirt. Now, I think the prequels had some fan service in it, and that's some of the stuff people didn't like.
Mm.
C-3PO being created by Darth Vader.
Yeah.
A lot of those kind of things.
Sure.
You know, there's different, like when the Millennium Falcon flies into Coruscant, that's cool. That's not fan service. That's a nod.
It's a nod.
But if Han Solo had shown up as planned in Revenge of the Sith as like a 12, 13-year-old boy, talking to Yoda, as was thought to be, that would have been fan service too far, I think. Or just a weird decision by the man in flannel.
Yeah, there's that kind of question of, you know, with somebody like George Lucas, he said that he thought everybody would be really interested to understand more about how the Force works, so midi-chlorians.
Right.
And so sometimes that guess about what fans want is wrong. I wonder if creators shouldn't think of the internet as like a suggestion box to every once in a while go, is there something really big that maybe we spaced?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, or a good idea. I don't think that they should cave to pressure.
Yeah.
I think kind of culturally, we were on that weird tipping point early kind of in social media, and social media was barely there. But the snakes on a plane that they announced they're doing this ridiculous thing, and everybody says, we want Samuel L. Jackson to say this specific line about MF and snakes.
Right.
And they're like, great.
Yeah.
And I remember waiting to see, is this movie going to be huge and change the way that things are created forever because you can just start going to people and go, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want?
Mm.
And then you put it all together and it doesn't quite
work.
You know? Right. So I feel like fans should be listened to.
Yeah.
But I feel like you should still ultimately do whatever is best for the thing that you're making.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I count the three of us on the fan side. We're content creators ourselves. We've had different experiences in creating properties and sketches and books and comedy and everything like that. So I definitely think we have that experience. But when it comes to Star Wars, I've never had to sit down and create a Star Wars story. So I definitely consider myself a fan and expert appreciator of it.
Yeah.
But so a lot of this applies to me as well. I want to start the conversation with Force Awakens and Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's two different kinds of fan service there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Force Awakens was a general fan service that I think, though controversial on some things. Yeah. They needed to kind of service the general public. This is a Star War. You're going to have the X-Wings and TIE Fighters and the big space orb that destroys things. You like that, right? Come on back into our world. And I know that for me at times has been some of the stuff I've least like about Force Awakens. But in the meantime, behind that, Joseph, not fan service, I thought, was creating 3 to 4 main characters that were spectacular.
Yeah, no, not at all. That was brand new. And I think if Lucasfilm had floated to the general public, the internet, saying, would you like kind of a new version of Darth Vader, who is an emo faker from Hot Topic, who can't control his emotions? People would be like, no. And what do you know? That is an amazing take on the villain, on the dark side.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
We wouldn't have got that.
Yeah.
Jennifer, right?
Right. Wrong? And the thing that a lot of people didn't like The Force Awakens, but for me, what I thought it did great was it captured the feeling of the Star Wars film. So yeah, you can point to, well, that was kind of hokey, or yeah, you know, Kylo Ren is this Hot Topic villain. But the feeling that you got when you saw Han and Chewie and these specific moments, that to me was what Star Wars represents. So I thought that was perfect. What I think is really interesting is that a lot of people that I know that are softcore fans, as Joseph you coined before, they loved Rogue One more than The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting to me, since they're not fans. But I guess that might be a separate topic altogether.
I think we'll transition to the Rogue One discussion. I think it got accused of being fan service-y in more specific, direct ways. The Gold Leader, Red Leader, some of that kind of stuff. The big battle at the end.
Blue Milk.
Blue Milk. As Red Letter Media pointed out, ATSTs, all that kind of stuff. But also, at the same time, it was different than any other Star Wars film. It really did stand alone as a different style and tone.
Right.
But that's where this discussion really, really kicks in, Joseph, because in Rogue One, I mean, is it too much fan service? I don't think it is. What do you think?
I don't think so at all, because I think the big moving pieces are new and fresh. We haven't seen this many sad, desperate people trying to pass the baton for that just tiny chance at winning exactly the way that story is told. And we see new characters, new relationships, all those things. It's the surface level that is fan service, I think, for the most part, in Rogue One, that it is the details that we recognize this galaxy that we're living in. We recognize the connections that should be there. And I think this is the big thing to me is there is, beyond fan service, I think there are some times that's fan validation.
Yes.
You're creating this world. We're spending all of this time in it. So we want to make sure that our time thinking about it, enjoying it, is legitimized by the people who are making it are just as knowledgeable about it as we are.
Right.
Yes.
Which is why, for me, the Vader thing set off emotions and feelings I did not expect.
Right.
When I learned these last couple of weeks that it was added pretty late in the game.
Right.
That was the thing that I needed in that movie. Right. I would have been upset and bummed out if it wasn't in the movie, and I'm not normally like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm normally much more like, just, I trust the creators. Give me what you got. But then it feels to me like, how could you not have that?
Yeah, it's the time. It's the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're right. I don't even think of it as fan service. I think of it as just, we have all invested so much time into learning about these characters and these stories. It's, you have to serve the story, and we're immersed in this world already, so you have to connect the dots.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, we're going to be taken out of it and go, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is, Vader was in his prime. Why didn't he cut down any rebels? So. Yeah. But do I think that they did that because they knew that we would love it? Yeah, maybe a little bit, right?
Yeah, but I think in terms of Vader specifically, it's okay.
Yeah.
We fans should have some kind of enjoyment.
Yeah.
You know, where fan service is, I'll address the AT-SD joke. The AT-SD. Yeah, damn straight. I loved it on Jedi because I'm a Star Wars fan.
Right.
And AT-SDs don't just show up on Endor.
Right.
They're part of the Imperial Army. That's part of their strategy. So if they're occupying this city, damn straight they better be there.
Yeah.
Or some kind of new version of Walker. But I liked, it was the thing I liked from Jedi, walking around a new city. It was fun, key, but it was also didn't take me out of the story. And that's where I think fan service, and we'll talk a little about Luke and Force Awakens, I think, where, you know, if If you're giving me something just because, and then it's a spotlight on it, and it doesn't have anything to do with the story, doesn't fit in the world, the connective thread, the things you're saying, Jennifer, then to me that is fan service. Red yes. leader, gold leader should have been there. And if you're a Star Wars fan who understands the time and the story, you're gonna we're already hearing. Well, where's Porkins and Wedge?
Yeah,
they had a day off. Okay, but you know, and reality is because they didn't have the extra footage to pull from the archives. But yeah, it's red leader and freaking gold leader.
Yeah,
they. Need to be there. That's not fan service. That's telling a good story using the universe and parts that you have.
Yeah, exactly. Pon de Baba and Dr. Evazin, yeah. maybe fan service.
Maybe
yeah,
fan service.
Was but it's it was great flavor. Mm-hmm. What? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it because it wasn't an important story beat. It wasn't anything that took you out of the movie. It wasn't there just to be like, hey, look at the thing you like.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Is that particular moment fan service? Yeah. Yeah, but again, like I said, not bad. But also, as I was kind of saying, coming out of Rogue One, and you guys know I went through this journey of Rogue One's the greatest thing I ever saw, to actually didn't like it the second time, to the third time I kind of, you know, except I'm waiting to see it on DVD. I've only seen it three times. I stopped going to see it in the theater, just wanted to let it sit for a little bit. Mm. You know, I was like, yeah, I want to be rewarded for all the effort and time and money I put into this.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean, you know, if I'm disappointed, I think what's different between me and some other people out there is like, if I'm disappointed, I don't go crazy about it. I just process it, prequels example, and eventually come to accept it or I don't accept it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Jennifer, did you any parts of Rogue One that you looked at and went, oh, why were you there?
No, I mean, the Pon de Baba thing, I kind of was like, oh, okay, a little wink, wink.
Yeah.
But I mean, even the small details, like the blue milk, I loved that. Of course the characters are going to drink blue milk because that is in the universe. And if you're painting this world, you've got to use kind of some of the same pink colors that you used before. Otherwise, that will take us out.
Yeah. And there was a lot of new things introduced in Rogue One. So.
Yes, absolutely. So it was a nice balance.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But as related to the Vader scene, going back to that to round out that part of it, Joseph, like, again, that was what I wanted to see. Speaking about myself, that's what I wanted to see, and they delivered on that.
Yeah.
And that's tough when I'm hearing, oh, Vader's going to be in it. There's some immediate expectations, and it's harder, I think, to deliver on our expectations as fans, and I thought that scene did it.
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely delivered. But to me, the fact that it was a late-minute addition, I will say, like, set off a dark side.
Really?
I think
I'm
usually pretty patient, which is why I was like, hey, prequels got some problems, but let me sit with them for a while.
Yeah.
There's, like you said, there are parts with Rogue One that I don't like, or maybe be like, oh, maybe I would approach that differently or whatever. But I still enjoy the film, and it's fun to turn around in my head.
Yeah.
If the Vader scene hadn't been there, this is one of the first times in my life that had such fan expectation.
Yeah. Mm.
And it wasn't a little weird thing that I made up.
Yeah.
As soon as we were told Vader's in the film, every Star Wars fan, even the soft cores, we're like, well, of course he's going to slaughter some people, right? It just should be.
Yeah.
So I think I partially wanted to talk about this to check myself before I wreck myself, because I don't want to be the person who like needs things to be a certain way. I want to see what the creator gives me,
right?
And then I want to interpret it and react to it.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
And it was done so perfectly because that was my concern. Was I thought they can't have too much Vader. Don't give us too much, even though we want to see him,
right?
Because then it's too much of a good thing. It was just the right amount. We got to see his castle, which was so cool.
Yeah.
And then they held off to the very end. And we got what we wanted.
Yeah.
That's what they need to do for us, you know.
The castle's an interesting point, Jennifer.
Oh,
going off that there, because that was not something I thought would be in it.
Nope.
Right.
No, that is a deep cut, the Macquarie design castle that might have been in Empire, might have been in Jedi. And when that popped up, it wasn't like, yay, Red Leader. It was like, oh.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That's okay. They're going back for that.
I like that.
And, deep you know, cut. Yeah, and great tip of the iceberg storytelling where you get to have a lot more discussion about what does that mean. So, I don't ever want to get the creators to be like so paranoid of like, what's the internet yelling about? We should make sure we include that, that we miss out on stuff we didn't know we wanted.
Now, the brave choice of Luke Skywalker only showing up at the end. Yes, I use the word brave. That word can go around to a lot of different things. It's not for one thing. I loved it. I think we even joked about it in our preview episode. Like, what if he only shows up at the end? And it was towards the very end. Like, I forgot that Luke Skywalker was a character until suddenly they're like, where's Rey going? Oh, he is going to only show up at the end. That's right. If the fans were asked going into Force Awakens, myself included, probably you too, give me a big Luke moment. Give me that moment when Kylo's reaching for that lightsaber. That was the moment,
yep. Joseph and Jennifer,
that should have been Luke standing there, right? That's what the fans would have written.
Yeah. Yeah, but as it turns out, I'm super glad that wasn't there. That was Rey's moment. This ends up being so much better because it gives us expectation. But yeah, if somebody had come to me and said, you have your choice, Luke is in the final scene, but it is incredibly pivotal, or he could be in the whole third act.
Right.
Or there can be little interludes building up to him. Like, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this is brilliant, and I don't think we would get it if there was about fan pressure. But those moments, they were kind of connected in Force Awakens and Rogue One in my fan experience, because my first time sitting Force Awakens, I did not forget Luke. Rogue, I was like, oh my, this is resolving, in that dawning realization of like, he's only going to be there in the last moment.
Yeah.
And watching Rogue One, I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
Not sure about this part. Oh, it's so good. But like, where's Vader? Like, I was practically squeezing the armrest wanting Vader.
Mm, yeah, Jennifer, you threw that moment there. I mean, you love Luke, as we talked about last week. He's the last good guy.
Oh my gosh. And I realized when Han died, spoiler, when Han died, in case you haven't seen it, I was like, no, Luke hasn't even been in this film, and we're not going to see the three of them together.
Yeah.
That was devastating for me, but I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, surely he's going to be the one that gets a lightsaber, and when he wasn't there, I'm like, oh my gosh, where the frack is Luke?
Right.
And then when that last moment, the overwhelming sensation, and I thought, this is why J.J. Abrams is J.J. Abrams, because he did something so unexpected, but I was so glad that he did it.
Yeah.
It was that classic kind of serialization that we love about Star Wars, that cliffhanger, and it was a perfect ending.
Yeah, maybe some of it does have to do with the quality of it. So, like, if somebody had not done The Force Awakens well in that, the first thing we see, the crawl, is Luke's name.
Yeah. Mm.
And the whole plot motivation is Luke. So Luke permeates this movie.
Right.
If it wasn't done that way, if you found out halfway through the film that actually what's been moving everything, the MacGuffin of this film is where's Luke, it would have been much more maddening.
Good.
But it invited us to salivate for Luke.
Yeah. That's a great way to say it.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and it's fair for fans, us included, to have these expectations. It's we have it in any kind of fandom. And I always say it's our own expectations that make these things disappointing or not. And these filmmakers and storytellers should have the right. The critique of Force Awakens being a retread of A New Hope comes up time and time again when I talk about it with anybody. I was in an event last night and getting to know a new friend. And he was like, what do you think about Force Awakens? I was like, I like it. He was like, oh, well, let me tell you why you're wrong. And a lot of it was just like, I was insulted, and the story was too simple. And it's like, again, I get it. But we're in the bubble. And if you work in Hollywood, you're in the creative bubble too. But someone in the other parts of fandom, it's a calm, warm, comfortable feeling that I think was needed. But, Joseph, the big thing is, it would seem, though, fans want surprise until they get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the...
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow-up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
Force Awakens is a cautionary tale that Star Wars in particular needs this very specific mix of the new and the old.
Yeah.
And the expected and the utterly unexpected.
Right.
And, you know, it would be interesting, like, if the how could you remake Force Awakens so you keep all of those similarities to New Hope
mm-hmm.
that make the creators and probably, you know, the Disney board
yeah.
happy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there a way to turn the newness up to 11? Would there have been a way to, like, hit you in the face with, like, yeah, it's a Starkiller base, but you'll never believe this about it.
Right.
So you get the new with the old?
I think there's a fine way to do it. And it might, when 7, 8, and 9 are done, we might look back and see it all. That's why I think the Luke thing will make so much more sense feel better when it's like, I'm so glad he only showed up at the end because that made 8 and 9 the moments and it mean more. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough, Jennifer. You know, we fans are a prickly bunch.
Yes.
And it's hard to try something new. I've seen in other fandoms.
Right.
We want new wrestlers at the top of WrestleMania. Here they are. No, we love the old ones.
Exactly.
It happens all the time.
It happens all the time. And if it had been like what the prequels were people were like, wait, this isn't what I was expecting.
Too much new.
Back right?
off on the new.
Right. So it's
here's
like,
Han Solo as a kid. Too much old.
Right.
Too much young old.
Yeah. Oh, man. So we don't know what we want, but we do know what we don't want when we see it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Do we want to watch Star Wars and stories in general to be surprised or validated as fans in our own knowledge? What is it, Jennifer?
I think it's a mixture.
And
I think we're going to get it in 8. I think, remember what J.J. Abrams himself said, where he's like, oh, I read that script and I was sad I'm not directing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that 8 is going to be surprising, but it's going to give us what we want and expect of Star Wars.
Right.
So that's why I'm excited for The
Joseph,
Last Jedi.
Why do you turn on the TV?
Why do I turn on the TV? Just to block out the sadness. And to have more things to tweet about. Yeah. No, I think there is, I do want a mixture of surprise and validation. I think for a new story, something I've never seen, like, you know, I saw Get Out.
Love
that movie because right. it was just something new, not attached to any canon, and it just
right.
Surprised you at every turn, but mm-hmm. everything made internal sense mm-hmm. to right. the movie. So I think as just seeing a story, I want to be surprised. I want to see mm-hmm. somebody else's perspective. I want to be introduced to a new world, a new feeling,
right.
all those things. But for something like Star Wars and so many other genre things that can never exist as a standalone
right,
thing,
yeah.
I want to be surprise-a-dated. Surprised and validated. I think maybe hearing you, Jennifer, talk about episode 8 and everything that we've come to expect, mm-hmm. I wonder if the right balance for that is to have familiar feelings, to have our feelings validated,
mm-hmm.
but to have be surprised by what's actually on the surface.
Yeah.
Yes.
So new planets, new force right. powers, new characters, new relationships, new situations, but it feels
like
we're walking through the emotional beats of Empire Strikes Back.
Right. Mm-hmm. Looking ahead to like Han Solo, we know now the time frame of his life and some things that we could have guessed were going to happen. So that is, you've got to
Do you have to show that? Do you have to see Han Solo win the Millennium Falcon in a game with Lando? Or can that have happened and we already know that? And as filmmakers approaching that, they've got a there's a line they're going to toe that could they could easily fall off.
They are telling a story in a land of winks and nods.
Yes.
In particular, our friend Chris Taylor makes lots of good jokes on Twitter about I hope they don't do this wink and nod joke.
Yes.
Like, I hope there's no Han shoots first
right
joke. Yeah, you know,
I think I voted in his poll on that.
But. great poll. I voted on it. Yeah, I want them to find ways to surprise us because I think this is a perfect place where we can get surprise and validation. Like we know that Han gets a life debt to Chewbacca.
Yeah,
it's been in expanded universe exactly how.
Yeah,
but what if it's just this utterly surprising way?
Hmm.
Yeah,
you know how can you surprise us with? How does that come about? Is it that Han is wrestling with the morality of being good or evil and he decides
right.
or good or not,
not yeah.
being selfish?
Yeah.
But he makes an unselfish choice and he rescues Chewbacca? Or is it dumb solo luck? Is it an accident?
Yeah.
And then this big walking carpet, as Leia called him, is like, hey, by the way, I know you didn't even mean to rescue me, but now we have a life debt. Like, that would be a surprise.
Because
we expect it to be like, Han makes a noble choice, and now he's with his partner. Like,
yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. It's a tough line, and I found myself going into this movie not wanting an origin story, but thinking it would be really cool to see him play Lando in a game of Sabacc
yeah.
for the Falcon. But I'm trepidatious. There's a lot of spotlight on the potential fan service in the Han Solo movie where, you know, the stuff in Force Awakens doesn't bother me. Rogue One stuff doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
This one good. I don't know.
I really admire them that they're tackling all these things that we have so many expectations about. And I imagine the way that it's going to be new is how they shoot it, the genre,
right.
their style of comedy, and that's what's going to make it fresh.
The execution of it.
Exactly. Even though we know these beats.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, Logan, for example. Going into that, I'm not a huge comic book superhero fan. I'm a comic book guy, but not superheroes. Not a huge X-Men fan. I don't know a lot going in, but I knew what was going to happen just by the trailers.
Yeah.
You could piece it together. But the execution of that story was surprising and deep and thoughtful and spiritual and powerful. And so that is something that maybe Star Wars could do with stuff we're familiar with or characters we know from the inside and out.
Yeah.
Has there been a perfect example so far, Joseph, in Star Wars?
Of balancing the sort of the validation and the surprise? maybe, you know, I'd have to think about like a... an episode arc in Clone Wars, maybe? Because I think Clone Wars did a lot with the Star Wars mythos and played around with very familiar ideas because, you know, George Lucas was still kind of at the helm with Dave Filoni. And I think the two of them together kind of created some arcs where, like, oh, yeah, I recognize these ideas, I recognize these characters and these feelings, but, like, everything surrounding it was a surprise.
Yeah. And you mentioned the animated stuff, too, that, you know, of course, stretches out into books and comics as well. So those are some examples. Jennifer, anything in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, validation and surprise would be Bloodline. That, to me, was very surprising with this character that I love and that we know, but... I felt, I've been enjoying reading it. So I feel like that's kind of the perfect balance.
You know, Force Awakens for me might be that because it did such a good job of breaking through the wall there first going through. But the comics have some good stuff. The Vader stuff, there's some moments in it that are perfection.
Hmm.
And there's some moments in it that aren't. But it's also a 25-issue run, so you're going to have that. So I'd submit some moments in the Vader comic. The Lando, which is a 5-issue run, other than a couple panthers walking around as creatures, walking, talking, fighting creatures, that one actually...
Can you hate the animals as creatures in Star Wars? You got a Riff Tamson.
I do.
Burr in your bonnet.
Oh, I do. And, you know, and which is weird because I love Chronicles of Narnia. I just don't know what's happening. But I think the Lando comic actually was one of the ones where it was like, it was Lando. So I want to see Lando, right? And the first frame, he's in bed with an Imperial officer and he's kind of wooing her. Mm. He's Lando being Lando. Yeah. Got that sock on the door.
Oh,
Lobot's there. And we discover a lot about Lobot that we, you know, as he becomes the Lobot we learn in Empire. Huh. And then it opened up familiar stuff with the Emperor and collection of Sith relics, which then, of course, ties into some other stuff. And for those 5 issues, it was
my favorite experience of the comics.
Oh,
so
wow.
Far.
That's really great.
Yeah. Afra's good. Maul's good. I mean, Maul's exceeding my expectations, but that is doing it in a way of surprising me with some familiar stuff that I'm aware of. So yeah. That's a growing example, too.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking about the comic books, I was thinking about the moment, and I think we've mentioned it on the show before, where Vader gets the confirmation that the person who destroyed the Death Star is named Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
It's done so well in the comic books, and it's making me think that maybe some of these moments, a good check for are they cheap fan service is if they get that pop the first time you see them, you know it's just from, it's Walrus Man, it's Pwn to Baba, But if you go back the second time and it has weight, then it's not fan service.
Well, and going to Dr. Evanson and Pwn to Baba, if you go to the character visual dictionary, whatever that came out for Rogue One, I mean, they start tying that into back legend stuff with Dr. Evanson and what he's doing with the cyborg people, everything. And
medical experiments.
Medical experience, and why he was running around with death sentences on 12 systems. In its own way, it was fan servicey, perhaps one of the bigger fan servicey things, but they had some depth there, too. They had some fun with it, which is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is okay. The creators having fun's fine. And what is the importance of creators caring about the story and the property as much as we do as fans? You mentioned, Jennifer, that most of the time now, it is fans creating Star Wars, which can be dangerous, even on a professional level. If you fall in love with those AT-STs and you want to put them everywhere, I understand if that's a problem.
Right.
I liked where they showed up in Rogue One. But how important, Jennifer, is that these people care about this?
They have to care about it. Mm-hmm. I think that they have to be passionate and to treat it with the respect. Respect and reverence, right? Because these properties are this property is special. Gareth Edwards, Rian Johnson, J.J. Abrams, they're all fans. But it's you have to be cautious, right? Where it's like
you must be cautious.
Yes, where they can't live out their fantasies of whatever they wanted the story to go.
Right.
But I don't feel like they would ever get to that point because Lucasfilm very much they have the creative team behind them. They have this kind of committee, so they're not going to let them get carried away.
I would agree. And you mentioned J.J. Abrams being a big fan of Star Wars. We know that because when he made Star Trek, he was like, I'm a big Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
And Joseph, that kind of affected some things. Wrath of Khan.
It was
the Legion of Khan.
Looking up to make sure I got the director's name right. Nicholas Meyer, who made Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
Like, that movie saved Star Trek.
It did.
Many people think it's the best Star Trek film. I think it's the best Star Trek film. This is an example of a creator who cared as a creator. Like, it's not a day job to him. Mm. He wants to figure out the characters. He wants to figure out every beat, make every emotion work, make a good film. Mm. He knew nothing about Star Trek.
Mm.
And so I wonder if the distinction should be that creators must care. Mm-hmm. They don't need to be fans.
Yeah. Mm.
They don't necessarily need to have the pre-knowledge as long as they respect it.
Mm. Right.
It's one thing if like a brilliant filmmaker came in and was just like, I know you've done your Star Wars things before, but I'm going to change them up. Han Solo died. I don't care. I like that Han Solo. I'm putting him in this movie. I'm the director.
Right.
Mm. Like that, you know, and even if it was a great film, the best film you've ever made, and it just violated stuff about Star Wars, would be upsetting.
Yeah.
So I think you need people like Nicholas Meyer did with Wrath of Khan. It was like, hey, I think I've really figured out Kirk, and I think this is what makes him tick, and I think this is what would challenge him.
Right.
And now, what is T? Tiberius? Okay, great. You know, that's a little bit dismissive, because it isn't just about the minutiae, but I think somebody who cares and is willing to respect the history.
This is not to suggest that J.J. didn't with his films, but he takes some heat, and those movies take some heat. Now, I like them. Mm-hmm. I like the first one particularly. I didn't like the second one, Into Darkness, as well. But the first one was great, and I was like, oh, it's kind of like a Star Wars.
Yeah.
But a lot of Star Trek fans were like, it's kind of like Star Wars. So it was kind of that, that they didn't service the fans of Star Trek, it would seem, in those films.
First, Abrams Star Trek knows the characters of Star Trek, and it celebrates the characters of Star Trek and then puts them in a Star Wars plot.
Yeah.
Almost literally.
Yeah.
So yeah, your mileage may vary depending on how big of a Star Trek fan you are. But I feel like Abrams had respect for the characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he tried something new.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think about, you know, when these people go on talk shows or in interviews and the first thing that they're asked is, are you a Star Wars fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, we all want them to say, yeah, I'm a big Star Wars fan. So when Woody Harrelson, you know, when he's like, well, I was all right, whatever. I think that it's okay. And the reason why we want them to be fans is because we want them to treat the property with respect.
Yeah.
That's all it comes down to. It's not that you have to know every single piece of canon and be uber fans.
Yeah.
We just want for you to know, take care of our baby for us. That's all.
Yeah, and see, these are professionals, too.
It's exactly. Like,
I forget his name now. Gosh, was it Jing Wang that played Baze Malbus?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He was like, I've never seen Star Wars film. Right. I didn't know. And ask, what does all this mean?
Yeah.
And I loved his performance in the movie. So these are professionals that will treat it. But yeah, we as fans, it gets nervous. What do you mean? You've never seen Star Wars? What do you mean? You don't know who Shmi Skywalker is? Is there anything in the upcoming films or any Star Wars property that you guys, if you could, that you would demand and get? Like, your wish fulfillment can happen here. Your wishes can come true in an upcoming Star Wars film.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I would love to see Leia use the Force.
Oh, ooh, that's great.
Yeah.
That might be the winner.
Yeah.
You might have won today's contest.
Yeah, you did. You won.
Yeah. Maybe it doesn't fit at all organically in the beautiful film that Rian Johnson, I'm sure, is making. Just like Luke Skywalker showing up earlier in Force Awakens wouldn't have worked, and I'm glad I got what I got.
Mm-hmm.
But just as a, like, if I was early in the process and just said, like, hey, by the way, whatever else you got cooking, Leia's got to use the Force.
Right.
Big time.
Ooh. Big time in some way.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Jennifer?
Yeah, you won. I was going to say, Luke, just in, you know, he takes off that robe, maybe he gets a little clean shaven, and he just has an epic fight scene.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Ignite the green.
Yes,
ignite Still Saunders the green. Is a hashtag.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, that might be mine as well, as Luke having one final moment in that Luke at his full powers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly.
Because I still feel we didn't get that. We got him on the road to that.
Mm-hmm.
So much like seeing Vader in Rogue One at the height of his powers.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that there. But yeah, really, I'm trying to think. It might be something little, but I want to, those characters that are big that we care about, I want them to have those moments. And I felt we got that with Han.
Yeah,
even though his death, you know, we knew it was coming in some way or another. We knew it was coming. He was Han. He was Han, and you got some great Han moments, and he brought so much different things to that film that I felt satisfied, even though the death maybe wasn't my favorite thing, though. Thank you, Joseph, for talking me off the ledge on that. But
no handrails on that ledge, so I had to.
On that ledge. So out there listening, if you have a demand that you could make in an upcoming movie, what would it be? You tweet us or Facebook us there. Now, on the other flip side of that, Joseph, if we could veto something.
Yeah.
It's already been in a Star Wars film or book or comic. What would it be?
Yeah, this is my weird veto. I want a moratorium for a little while on young boy protagonists.
Yeah.
Because we just had so many, I think, especially when Disney was relaunching, they're playing things safe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of our introduction to Aftermath, that it was maybe Tem and Snap Wexley's story.
Yeah.
Precocious younger boy alone. That was our introduction to Rebels with Ezra in the Lego Star Wars TV series that I really, really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a young kind of boy of prophecy who can sense where bits of Kyber saber are. So we've just had so much
of it
that I would like a break for that being our introduction into the story.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Kind of that the hero's journey can be retold in a different way at this point.
If the Old Republic is, if it turns out 2020, we're starting an Old Republic trilogy.
Yeah.
I don't want it to start with a 15-year-old boy of fate.
Yes.
You know?
Totally agree. That's been played out. Jennifer, anything you'd take back?
That's good. No more orphans. Well, not necessarily orphans, but I want to see some moms. This is more like what I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see a mom Jedi. A Jedi who is a mom.
Mm-hmm.
That would be wonderful, even though that wouldn't really make
sense. Well, you know,
but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, things
can change.
Things can happen.
Things can change.
Jedi make mistakes.
Sorry.
Not that a child is a mistake. Is not what I'm saying. But hey, you know. You know what I mean? She graduates.
She had an accident. Oops.
Graduates. Late night on Coruscant.
Oh my gosh.
Things happen. Things happen.
It's the will of the living force. The
will of the living force is what I'm trying to say. If I could veto, it definitely would be space whale ships.
Ken's argument with animals rages on.
It does.
Man, that chipmunk Jedi.
That is our look. We could go on and on about fan service in Star Wars. It is something important because we are all fans and they are fans. And we, as fans, want to feel that we are getting the properties we feel we deserve, but also we can shake our fists at some really good content that we just might not have expected. So it's new and unusual to us, so we lash out at it. So I say, Joseph, do what you do so well. Just sit back, sip a drink or water or orange juice, and just let these creators create.
I agree.
Yeah. We got some audience questions. We love doing this. We're going to close out this show today with some great questions that we got from Twitter and Facebook. You can reach out on those. We'll tell you how after that. Joseph, we got some fun ones.
That's right. From Connor on Twitter at SpacePilgrim904 asks, Ray and Poe have yet to meet in canon. What would you like their first exchange to be like? So yeah, we could imagine they met on the base, but we didn't get to see it.
Right.
I would like it to be Poe, like, pulling her aside, being like, that is some nice hair. Bites his lip. That hair looks so good on you.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see them, like, in some sort of space battle. They don't know. They're both in different ships, not their own. And they're, oh, I hate this person or whatever. And then they discover, oh, hey, I know you. You're a friend.
Nice. Yeah, I was picturing that maybe they get into some kind of trouble together. Maybe Poe's in trouble and Rey shows up and Poe thinks like, oh man, we're in such trouble. And then, you know, Rey whips out her new lightsaber, her new force abilities, and just cleans everyone's clock, takes care of the problem, and just like shock.
I love it.
Right, you know, because we don't know how much Poe's got to see force users really throw down.
Right.
Probably not. So it'd be,
I'll be like, yeah.
Like, whoa, good nice.
Job. High five.
Nice. Would Poe say? Next question. Scott Ring at Scott James Ring on Twitter asks, what inconsistency / continuity problem, in quotation marks, bothers you the most in the Star Wars universe? Kind of connecting back to our various fan concerns and complaints that we keep close to our heart. Ken, do you have one continuity thing that keeps you awake at night?
No, honestly, I don't. But some of the I ask, you know, when it's too connected, I get worried.
Yeah.
You know, I am one of the ones who does not. If Vader or Anakin built 3PO. And he's called C-3PO, and on Empire or Bespin, the words C-3PO are coming out of a character's mouth that I would have wanted. It seems silly. You never would have got the scene, but I would have wanted Vader been like, oh, I built you. How you doing? Good to see how you turned out. I don't know. There's little things like that. The big things I'm fine with. I can always find a way to adapt my brain around the stories.
Okay. Yeah. How about you, Jennifer? Is there anything that sticks in your craw?
No. We're just
too nice, Jennifer.
I just accept it all. I'll figure out a way to make it work. I love to suspend.
Okay. Well, you guys have set me up to look like a real ass.
Nope, that's what we did. That's what we did.
Curious.
I have a list.
Yeah, yeah.
Drop the parchment. It rolls for miles. No, the one that jumps out to me is the inconsistency of Leia remembering her mom.
Yeah.
Because I always loved that moment in Return of the Jedi where that's how Luke gently brings up all these difficult things that he needs to tell her. Do you have any memories of your mother?
Yeah.
I think he says your real mother.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and it's so beautiful and poignant, and it just gives you that great little bit of like, of course she would be kind because the U2 came from her, and of course she would be sad because she had a relationship that didn't go well with Darth Vader. And then getting to know Padme, I would have, I wish that had been connected in some way. I don't know how you would have done it, where you would have jumped forward in time a little bit to Padme passing when Leia's 2 or 3.
Mm. Right. Yeah. That was a little shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
at the time, it was like, big leap. It's the same vein, like, to Kenobi at the beginning of New Hope seeming to have no recollection of anything that's happened 20 years ago.
Right. At least he's a known liar or exaggerator.
And that's how I think you can write it off now, but clearly at the time that was not written. That was to be ages ago. I don't remember ever owning a droid except for you several times.
I mean,
talked a lot.
Technically, I didn't own you. I'm basically a used car salesman.
I want R2 to be like, what about R4? Oh, remember R4?
I didn't care much when he died. Anyway. anyway, yeah, so we'll discuss that, those continuity problems more. That's a great question, Scott. Next up, from Victoria Lee on Facebook, she asks, in Bloodline, we all learned that Leia never told Ben that Darth Vader was his grandfather. Do you think that eventual reveal of this information and the hurt that must have come from his parents withholding this truth provided the trigger for Ben to become Kylo Ren?
Hmm. Absolutely, 100%. I believe, I think she writes a letter, right? And that is something I do believe in doing some research for another project. I believe, correct me, Victoria, I think there is a letter she sent. She reaches out. She did not tell Ben, yeah, but then eventually he does learn. And I absolutely think that is.
Yeah.
I think other stuff might have been going on. Whoever Snoke is showing up, all factored in. But I think when you learn, oh, you're connected, that's your grandfather, to the darkest force in the galaxy, from your point of view, absolutely destroyed.
Yeah. I mean, anytime a parent withholds a huge chunk of information like that, there's a real breakdown in communication, and I could see how, yes, that would make him very angry.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I would agree, too. And I think we know also that Snoke swoops in there, and we'll get more of that story eventually. But just from an emotional perspective, I was also thinking about what pressure it must have been for poor young Ben Solo to be the child and nephew of the heroes of the rebellion.
Yeah,
right.
So if you've already dealing with this pressure to be perfect, and then you learn, like, or you could just go evil like your famous grandfather. Yeah. That's a way to get out of this pressure. Great question, Victoria. Thank you. Our final question is from Ryan Wendorf on Facebook, who asks a nice, fun question. We like our fun, weird questions, and boy, does this count as that. When speaking to Admiral Akbar, which eye do you look at?
Good question. This is why I like Radis. His eyes are a little bit more forward, I think. Here's the thing. He kind of swivels his head a little bit.
Yep. Yes, he does.
You go with the one leaning towards you at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's very animated in the way that he talks, like Radis as well. Yeah. So, you know, he's kind of moving around. So I think you can get away with either looking at one eye or the other. Yeah. I would just stare at the mouth.
Yeah.
See, oh, you stare at the mouth.
That's okay. Good.
Good. So your answer is no eyes, look at the mouth. My answer is to cheat and always sit in a spinny rolly chair like the Mon Calamari love, and then I could just switch from eye to eye, eye to eye, eye to eye.
Do want one of those chairs. Great questions, guys. Fun. As always. And you can get those questions to us a couple different ways. You can send them to us on Twitter at ForceCenterPod is how you follow us. Use that hashtag ForceCenter. On Facebook, like the page. We are pushing towards 1,000 likes. We really want that to happen. When I am in Star Wars Celebration, I'll be using the Facebook page to live stream some stuff going on there at Celebration. On Twitter at ForceCenterPod, like I said, we're trying to get to 2,000 followers. That would be very key. We're up in the top 200 on TV and film and iTunes. That really helps us. Bigger ways as we try to move forward here in 2017. So keep rating and reviewing. And Joseph, one thing we put out on the Facebook page, a call to action for fans for concepts on new kind of like banner art and things like that. We can't tell you exactly the reasons why yet, but there's a reason we want it. Some exciting things coming. And that is an email address. You can hit us on Gmail. I just say hit us up. That's what I said that. at Gmail at forcecenterpod@gmail.com. Joseph, we're getting some good stuff.
Yeah. And I can't wait to see what else you guys come up with. We got some great instructions right there on the Facebook page about what to come up with. That's about it for our plugs.
That's it. We got personal stuff too, Joseph.
Yeah. So you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram and all the other social media as at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can find all of my other comedy adventures on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. And of recent, I am on the new app Anchor. I have a show called Headcanon where I share weird, fun little opinions about all things pop culture. There's a lot of Star Wars. And you can come and respond to those questions. I would love it if you responded to those questions because I'm not just asking the Abyss. I'm asking you, dear listener. So find me on Anchor, Headcanon.
That's right. I'm on Anchor as well at Daily Thrones where we talk Game of Thrones every day and on Twitter at KatNapsuck. Jennifer, you got a YouTube channel? You got Twitter? You got all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. You can find me on all the sites at Jennifer Landa. My latest video is a Santa Clarita Diet cocktail because I'm a huge fan of that show.
Oh, nice.
With a bloody severed finger garnish. Check it out. YouTube.com/Jennifer Landa.
Oh, that is great. That is awesome. Guys, thank you so much for listening to Force Center and joining us each week and helping us in our adventure to talk Star Wars with you. We appreciate it. So we'll see you next time. I hope we were fan service enough for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.